Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And boy, despite our hiccup and wonderful grace of Jesus, I thoroughly enjoyed our music this morning. And actually, I was thinking of the words of that second verse. We don't sing it that often. Those are actually some good words, amen. And they're on wonderful grace of Jesus. But we are so glad to be here. And as we bring this series to a close, Lord willing, I believe God is leading me to begin a new book in the book of Hosea. And we'll begin that next week. I've thoroughly enjoyed studying that myself over the years. And I really do love the minor prophets, and I would love to go through those more in depth as a church. But Hosea, there's just something special about the book of Hosea, and I would love to just dive through that, dissect that as a church, and we'll begin that next week. But we're going to focus one last time on this series, A Rooted Christian. It's our theme for the year. And we've got some props. They'll play a part here in our sermon today. And thank you, Miss Robin, for bringing these beautiful flowers. I didn't expect them to be real. I was thinking fake flowers. But she remembered. One of the first things I told her when I became the pastor is, I hate fake flowers. And she said, we'll make sure that we try to use as little of those as possible. And so, and you say, well, you're a hypocrite because you have a fake grass wall in the foyer. I understand that. And so there are things at times I do catch myself in. But I do, both of these flowers are real, whether you realize it or not. And I encourage you to come by after church and just look at them and maybe think of the words of the sermon. And this is a rose, and honestly, I don't remember who gave that to me or where it came from. But as I was studying in my office, I said, that will be perfect to really just illustrate the life of the believer before Jesus Christ. And we talked a little bit about the heart issue, go back to the Pharisees, and I'm always amazed that God, or Jesus Christ really, would put them on notice of, hey, you do all these things outwardly and you look good, but really there's an issue on the inside. We think about flowers and plants, and many of you ladies understand that you have roses that your husband will give you, and men, just as a hint, you have a couple of weeks to get those roses in order for Valentine's Day, amen? And many of you ladies will buy roses or get roses from your husband, and you'll put them in the vase and you'll water them. And most of the time, I don't know if it's just my house and maybe there's something we're not doing correct, but those flowers don't live very long. But you want to know what I noticed outside of my bay window this year is there is a rose bush that is planted. It has got deep roots, and I have got to trim that thing almost every other week. It grows. It produces flowers. They're beautiful. And this is really the picture Jesus is giving us. And what we see from the preacher, the Apostle Paul, this morning, and the thought of just being rooted. Friend, let me ask you this morning, what are you rooted in? Are you rooted in Jesus Christ? If you're a Christian here this morning, you ought to be rooted in Jesus Christ. And our passage shows us, we've quoted it every week this month, that we should be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Just prior to this passage of Scripture, Paul has really given us the foundation. And the Bible tells us this, there is no other foundation that man can lay. The Bible is just simply telling us if we are to build upon a foundation, it ought to be in Jesus Christ. So I love the visuals and I love the stories and I love the thought of greenery. And the truth of the matter is this, as the warm weather rolls around and you see dead plants or dead weeds, typically they sell the spray. You can spray the weeds and it kills them and it makes it easier to pull. How many of you have ever pulled weeds in this life? You understand exactly what I am talking about right now. The dead weeds, don't they pull out the easiest? But I would just say, and I've done this, in fact, Brother Mitchell, you and I, about a year or two ago, he paid me to help him move a bush, and I told him, that's the last time I ever worked for you. And he kept buttering it up. It's not big. It won't take us long. And boy, we were sweating pretty good out there, Brother Mike. The honest truth was this, that thing was rooted deep. And the visual I want you to capture this year, and really for the rest of your life, is when you are rooted firmly in Jesus Christ, nothing can move you. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1 is where we'll begin. Leading up to our theme verses for the year, Paul is the preacher here. He's giving them a letter, and he says this in verse number 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God." Where have we seen that phrase before? The mystery of God. Well, if you go back to our study in Ephesians, Paul was the writer there. He's the writer here. He wants them to understand what the mystery was once again. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. He says in verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Let's say verse 7 one last time together. Ready? Begin. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do. And Lord, I'm so grateful to be here this morning in this warm building. And Lord, we pray for those. I received texts and calls this week, people that weren't feeling well, that won't be here today. And Lord, we pray that you just be with them as they are away from this place. Heal them, keep them safe. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to the rest of us this morning that are watching either on live stream or that are here in person on this thought of being rooted in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If someone were to ask you to suggest the most important qualities of a minister or the most important qualities that a minister can possess, you might argue and say a good preacher needs intelligence. He needs a good education. He needs leadership abilities. He needs boldness or holiness or he needs speaking ability. I remember taking a speech class in college, and there were just some people who would get up, give their speech, and I'm just going to be honest, I felt sorry for them. The nerve sometimes got the best of them, and I'm just going to say this, public speaking is not for everyone. You may be sitting there, but you're so good at it, Pastor Brent. No, I'm just kidding. Don't think those things. I want you to understand there was a long process before I ever really got comfortable speaking in front of people. In fact, some of the first sermons I can ever remember preaching, I don't think I made eye contact with any one person in the church. And usually I have about 4 pages of notes, and usually I divide it that way. One page usually represents 10 minutes of speaking quality, and give or take, that's usually how my notes go. Back then I had about 15 pages of notes, and the first time I can remember preaching, it lasted for about 45 seconds. And so we may think these are some of the characteristics that a preacher needs and a minister of the word. And although I will agree with you, all of those things are essential components, perhaps the most necessary ingredient in the life of any minister of Jesus Christ is love for the church. No one can truly serve God in the church without that motivation this morning. As you study the life and ministry of Paul, his love for the church is really, it's beyond question. Clearly, he loves the Colossian church, but that love isn't reserved for them alone. He is passionate about and committed to the church as a whole. And Paul knew the eternal importance of salvation and a proper relationship with Christ. And he wanted the church to prosper, being effective in reaching the lost and encouraging all believers. Once again, the verses leading up to this, Paul exalted the Lord Jesus Christ in a magnificent way. This was done with purpose. He wanted to establish a solid foundation upon which to build, and he now turns his attention to the church. In an effort to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Now, those of you that are here this morning that are saved, would you agree with me that it is very important that a Christian has a walk with God? If you agree with me, just say amen. We all agree. It's important to have a walk with God. And Paul wanted them to have this, and he understood that through Christ, they had everything necessary to serve the Lord and experience victory. I've had the privilege of speaking to many people in churches. I've had the privilege of speaking in RU type of classes. And some of my favorite passages of Scripture typically come from the book of Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin? Paul said it like this, God forbid. And I just want to give you this encouragement, and this really isn't the thrust of the message, but everybody that goes to a church ought to know this right as they get there. There is hope for my life. There is hope and salvation after we become children of God and we follow Christ. There should be a relationship. And through that relationship, we ought to understand and begin to realize that God is the key for giving us victory in certain areas in this life. And I believe that's where Paul was. In fact, I'm convinced that Paul was looking well beyond his present time as he penned these words. He knew the church would endure until Christ returned for her. And although these words were written thousands of years ago, they continue to speak to us even this morning. This letter was written to the church at Colossae, but it was also written for fellowship and the church at large. And I want to examine the exhortations that Paul leaves the church as we consider the encouragement of Paul this morning in the sermon in which I've titled, A Resolve to be Rooted. First of all, I want you to take note with me. I want you to see Paul's concern for Colossae. Paul's concern for the church here at Colossae that begins in verses 1 all the way down through 3. Look there, if you will. The Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all or hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." As we dive through chapter 2 here, we discover the heart of a committed pastor, and Paul reveals his passionate concerns for Colossae. And I want you to consider these thoughts with me. First of all, letter A, his activity. There in verse number 1, the Bible simply says this, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you." In other words, Paul is saying, you don't realize the struggle. The struggle that's going on, it is suggested that Paul had never personally visited the church at Colossae. And even if that were the case, his love for them, it was not diminished. He was as committed to the welfare of Colossae as any other local body of believers. And even though he was absent in the body, Paul was not passive. He was actively involved in the ministry of Colossae. He reveals the great conflict he has for the church there. And this speaks of, once again, a struggle or a contest or contention, often in reference to the Greek games of that day and age. Paul was not a silent observer. He was an active partner. He labored in prayer and ministry for Colossae and struggling against opposition and the forces of evil. I want you to just kind of get this challenge and what a challenge it is from the Apostle Paul. The modern church, we need to understand, is filled with many spectators. Silent observers, if you will. But few participators. Those willing to actively engage in ministry. That's who I'm referring to right now. We need to find our place in the body of Christ and contend for the faith. And I believe, that was the message that Paul was trying to get across to the church there at Colossae. It's not just about, and we visit our theme from last year, it's not just about going to church. We started our men's Bible study this past Thursday, and I encourage the men, it's not just about reading the Bible. It's about studying the Bible. And for those of us that are Christians here this morning, it's not just about actions. It's really more about a relationship with Christ the Lord. And whether you realize it or not this morning, there are many churches right now that are filled with silent observers. This was his activity. I want you to see letter B, his association there at the second part. He said, "And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul's concern was not limited to Colossians. He was concerned for Laodicea and others whom he had not met. And Paul was concerned for the entire body of Christ. He longed for a solid biblical church in every city, one that shared the gospel and thrived for the glory of God. And boy, I don't know about you people, but I remember when I got here to Greeley, Colorado, I was about 9-10 years old, and I grew up in a Baptist church, and Lighthouse Baptist Church was a church that my mom and dad worked and were a part of, and my mom and dad were missionaries to the Toyoak Baptist Church there, to the Native Americans, and I grew up being Baptist, and this kind of just makes me laugh, but when I got to Greeley, I'd drive around and I'd see lots of churches on the corners, and I would see the signs and I would see the different church names. And in my mind, I would just sit there and think, that's not the right church. That's a wrong church. That's a missionary Baptist church. I guess they're okay. And this was just my mentality as a little kid. You know what I've come to understand as I've grown up and through Christ matured a little bit? Is that there are a lot of people who are not named Baptists that are doing wonderful things for the cause of Christ. And we got to put it out of our mind. And we need to develop the same concerns that Paul had here. And his concern was really that the gospel reach the entire city, not just through us, but we support other organizations. We talked about the Sanctity of Life last Sunday, and there's some resources out there for the Pregnancy Resource Center, and there are people like that that are giving the gospel out, and there are people around, and I got emails this week about meeting with people and partnering through thoughts like depression, anxiety, and getting equipped to counsel people who struggle with those things. Those are people who maybe aren't Baptist per se, but they have a burden for lost souls, and they have a burden for struggling people. And I believe, just like Paul, his concern was that Jesus Christ be preached to everyone. Even as I prayed this morning, my prayer was just, Lord, maybe one day you send someone out of our church to plant another church. And maybe one day we can equip a family or somebody to go. We support missionaries, and I love our state of Colorado. But if you're like me, you understand this. Our state is quite wicked, is it not? It is very far from what the Bible says and what we ought to be doing and how we ought to be living. But I love the fact that we have people who want to go, and there are good churches in our state, and there are days where I text those pastors, and almost any given Sunday I get a text from preachers or youth pastors that I grew up with and that I look to, and they are praying that God be magnified in Greeley, Colorado. We ought to have the same concern. We are all in this for the same purpose. And we need to have a vision. And oftentimes I fear our vision and mindset is far too limited at times. We must realize that kingdom work doesn't start and stop at the edge of our parking lot. There's work to be done outside these walls, folks. We must engage our communities for Christ, and fellowship isn't the only body of believers, or faith isn't the only body of believers here in Greeley, Colorado, serving the Lord. We need to pray for and encourage others in their ministries as well. We need a burden for the body of Christ, not limited just to our local congregation. We got to go to the couples retreat a few weeks ago, and I think I told some of you, while I love going to the couples retreat and I love fellowshipping with other couples from the other churches, there's just something about being around my group that I love more than anything. That doesn't mean I just cast them aside. Oh, you're not part of my church, go away. You remember those make-believe clubhouses you had as kids? I think of the Little Rascals, the He-Man Woman Haters Club. That was the mentality of most of us growing up. These people are not allowed in. And sometimes we have that same approach with church. You're not a part of our church. You're not a part of a Baptist church. You're not a part of this congregation. You have no place here. I don't believe that was the vision of Paul. And we see his activity. We see his association. But secondly, in verse number 2, I want you to see his ambition. The Bible says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and in all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. As I was going through this portion right here, I thought of another verse that Paul penned, and that was Philippians 1:27, striving together for the faith. Paul revealed his desire for Colossae and the church as a whole. He prayed for the church to enjoy the peace and comfort of God, being united together in love, experiencing the abundance of God in full assurance and commitment to the gospel. Now, I'm not going to re-preach the book of Ephesians for you. Not this year anyways. We'll go through it again eventually, Lord willing. But I thoroughly enjoyed going through the book of Ephesians. And I thoroughly enjoyed the message that we saw. And Paul's goal. Remember, he talked about them being dead. And I want you to picture, this was your life before Christ. Empty. Dead. But after Christ, this is what you've become. You've become planted. And we go back to Psalms chapter 1. He shall be a tree planted by the water. The phrase and the picture we're getting there is we have been transplanted. We have literally, because of Christ, been picked up from our dead lifestyle and planted in Jesus Christ. That's the picture that we have. And we are able to grow through the nourishment and the encouragement of the church and because of Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he's doing through the church. I love that visual. But Paul used that same phrase in the book of Ephesians, the mystery of the gospel. Do you remember what that was referencing? Paul was dealing with Jews and Gentiles, and some were brought up by the law, and they thought the law was better, and some had their own man-made customs that they were holding to, and one was better than the other. And Paul was just saying this, hey, we all have a common denominator. That is this, we are all sinners. And we all have a common solution, that is Jesus Christ. And through the mystery of the gospel, these people were allowed to learn to come and love God and love each other. And I was thinking of that song we used to sing with the kids in junior church, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. And I want you to understand, church, the picture of love that I believe Paul is trying to paint here is that anyone who walks through the doors and comes to this church ought to be welcomed. And our life is now different because we are no longer dead. In essence, Paul desired the church to be a healthy body. He wanted each member to thrive in Christ. He wanted the body to reach the lost, reproducing itself in the lives of others. Let me ask you this morning, church. Should that not be our desire as well? When you think of the goals, once again, and the vision for our church, what do you envision? Sometimes it's all about our facilities and congregational ministries, or do you have an ambition similar to Paul's this morning? I pray the Lord will create within us a passionate heart and give us a biblical vision for our ministry here in Greeley, Colorado. He shows his ambition there in verse number 2. He shows us his assurance in verse number 3. And the Bible says this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul wasn't skeptical concerning Colossae here. He wasn't doubtful of their ability. He was certain they could accomplish much because they knew the source of their strength. He knew Christ was more than able to equip and use the believers there to accomplish his purpose. The world looked to material and social means to accomplish their goals, but Paul pointed the church to Christ, and he said, in him are hidden the greatest treasures of life. Not only the greatest treasures of life, but we understand in him we now have life. Before him, we had no life. We were dead. We were empty. And some of you, if you go back to our sermon on the root of the problem, the heart issue that most Christians have, is you are deceiving yourself, believing that you have a relationship with Christ, and you wonder why you never feel or look like this. His assurance was this, in him are hidden the greatest treasures of life, in Christ. You know what the world needs more of today? Christ. You know what the world needs less of? Our philosophies, religion, things that pull us away from the church. I'm just telling you what I see and what I feel today as a pastor. This was his assurance. He said it's included in knowledge and wisdom And we got to think in ourselves once again. When we take our life into our hands, it brings fear, it brings concern, it brings discontentment. But when we take our life and put it in Jesus Christ, we have the utmost confidence and the utmost assurance in this life. Is that not what you're thankful for this morning? Yeah, we see a world that's running around really like chickens with their heads cut off. They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea where to go. They try to break down God's word. They try to disapprove Jesus Christ. Many of them will say he was a fictional character. Friend, I believe in my heart of hearts, Jesus Christ was real. He did come to this earth. He did die on the cross. And because of his sacrifice, we have the opportunity to go from this to this. And that's the assurance that Paul was talking about this morning. We see, first of all, Paul's concern for Colossians, but I want you to notice, secondly, Paul's confidence in Colossians there in verse number 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You see, as Paul continues to speak, he reveals his confidence in the church at Colossae. And I want you to notice what he speaks of this morning. Letter A there. He's showing us the possibility of failure. Now, I would echo that 110%. Just because you are a Christian does not mean that you won't stumble and fall. We see many examples in Scripture, and David being one of the most prominent, a man after God's own heart. He walked. He had all that he needed in Jesus Christ, and yet there came a time in his life where he kind of just pushed that stuff to the side. Now, I want you to see what Paul is talking about, and he's saying this, really, in essence. I'm telling you this so that no one may delude you, there in verse number 4. That's really what he's saying. I'm telling you this so that no one can delude you. And that word delude just means this: impose a misleading or to deceive. There's a lot of things in our modern day world that's very deceptive. Evolution, Darwinism. There's many theorists that have come up with ideas, ideologies. They preach and teach in the schools. It is very deceptive. Hollywood. Very deceptive. You know what I never got? Brother Ken, I was just thinking of this. There's a lot of people that are anti-gun in Hollywood, and yet some of their most famous movies, they're using guns. That's very just concerning to me. It deceives me. It deceives the people. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just want you to understand, there are a lot of deceptions in the world. Unfortunately, this morning, there are churches that are being deceived. There are pastors that are taking a stand and preaching something that is unscriptural and unbiblical. And many people are being deceived. And Paul was just saying this. You might think that Paul was revealing the possibility of failure. It doesn't sound much like confidence. We need to understand Paul isn't anticipating their failure. He is equipping them to encounter adversity that will surely come. He knows this: if they are trusting the Lord, they will not give heed to the false doctrine and enticing words of false teachers. In other words, this: when you're rooted in Jesus Christ, nothing can sway you from what God's word tells you. But I've seen a lot of Christians who are, we go back to that first week, we used the illustration of trees. Many people are like leaves, or they're like the petals of this flower, and they'll fade and they'll fall. And some people are like a branch. When pressure comes to them, they cave. Many Christians, and this is just my personal belief, are not rooted as deeply as they think they are. And a false doctrine, a delusion comes along and sways them away from their relationship with Christ. Paul was just letting them know there is a possibility. Hey, we need to heed these words as well this morning. Confidence is good once again, and it's okay to be confident as long as we understand our confidence ought to be in Christ and not any other man, not in any other theology, not in Hollywood, not in any of these delusions that we see. It ought to be in Jesus Christ this morning. That was Paul was showing us there, his confidence in the church. It first came with the possibility of failure, but I want you to see this part, and I love this. Secondly, letter B there in verse number 5, the power of faith. Look in verse number 5. This one never gets old. I love this. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying. That's just a word we don't really use anymore, is it? I'm joying with you. I kind of get a tickle at that word. Joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul is now discussing the strength of the believer. It's always founded in faith. When faith is strong, victory is sure. We discover the benefit of faith. It's really twofold. And here's what we see Paul is showing us. First of all, he's showing us it endures separation. Look there at the first part of verse number 5 again. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. Once again, Paul wasn't there physically. He wrote to them. He was there spiritually speaking. He was thinking of them, praying for them. Surely the church was encouraged through Paul's involvement with the church. And yet, he was not with them in body. Now, in modern day society, we might be able to get away with this a little bit more. I read an article a while back. Pastor went on vacation, and the media team came up with a hologram to project of the preacher preaching a sermon. Now, I'm not saying that's a road we're ever going to go down. I'm just saying it's interesting to think about. In modern-day society, you could live in Hawaii and pastor a church in Colorado. That might not be too bad on a day like today, amen? In Paul's day, it was a little bit more difficult. They would send out letters, and it could be weeks at a time, maybe even months, before they received those letters. And all along, they have no idea really what's going on. And when they received the letter, they understand Paul is here. While he's not here physically, he loves us, he cares for us, he's trying to give us some guidance, and there is certainly nothing wrong when we look at this. Paul is teaching them a fundamental truth here to the church at Colossae. There's certainly nothing wrong with gleaning wisdom from others or admiring their work for the Lord, but we must keep our focus on Christ. And I think what Paul was trying to show them is, hey, don't put so much stock into me as you do Jesus Christ. He was letting them know that the power of your faith, it can endure this separation. The power of the faith in Jesus Christ is what ought to keep you going. And Paul is just letting them know, hey, I have not saved you. And they are not here to worship Paul. Even though they may have desired his presence, their faith in Christ would sustain them and guide them. Even in Paul's absence, they could rest in knowing he was with them in spirit and that he was praying for them continually. You know what I think of when I read this passage of Scripture? Some of us this morning have endured separations in our life. We think of people in our life, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a preacher. Many of us had to go through that transition this last year. Our heart was knit with Pastor Matt, and we loved him, and maybe at times we still wished he was here. There were times I still wished he was here. But Paul was just letting them know you can endure the separation. Some of you have had to go through a loss of a loved one. And at a time like that, there may be questions that can't be answered by pastor or by the deacons, but all you can rely on is the strength of your faith. Paul was just letting them know, hey, your faith is strong as long as it's in Jesus Christ and not in some man. It can endure these separations. And while we may desire to have certain people around, and while we may desire to have grandmas and grandpas back in our life for just a moment to have a conversation, our faith can endure those moments. Paul was not only saying that it endures separation there in verse number 5, it also enables steadfastness. There at the end of verse number 5, I love this. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Even though Paul was not present to provide day-to-day guidance, they remained steadfast in the Lord through faith. Trouble and adversity were present, but faith endured and enabled them to press on in the work. We too need that type of faith. There will be struggles and disappointments along the way. Our hearts will be heavy and burdened at times, but we must continue by faith in Christ. This was Paul's concern for the church, Paul's confidence. But lastly this morning, I want to get to the meat of the message. Paul gave a charge to the church at Colossae. Look at verse number 6 and 7 once again. We've quoted these verses many times. Maybe some of you have began to memorize them. The Bible says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." As he concludes his thought this morning, Paul offers the church a specific charge to fulfill. Let's take a moment to consider the charge that he gives them this morning. Consider, first of all, with me the reminder. There in verse number 6, the first part, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." How many of you have ever received Christ Jesus in your life? Amen. Show your hands. What a wonderful testimony that is. The day that you were saved, you went, once again, from this to this. You are now complete in Jesus Christ. He took your sins. He took everything that made you dead and cast them away, the Bible says, to remember them no more. But Jesus Christ expects some more of us after we become this. And Paul was just saying, because you've received Jesus Christ, there is a thought here. He offers a stirring reminder of their relationship with Christ. Friends, let me just say this. There are times in our life we get very busy. Once again, modern day living is a lot different than what Paul was facing. We got a lot of distractions in our life. And many times we can go days, weeks, maybe even months, sadly, without being reminded of our relationship in Christ. Friend, the first thing you ought to do every morning is thank God. The first thing you ought to do before you get out of bed is bless his name and praise him and thank him for what he does. And I was laughing because my wife's a morning person. I am not. She loves to get up early Sunday morning. She's up getting ready and she's listening to music to help her heart get ready for the sermon today. I woke up out of my sleep singing Christian music this morning. You ever had one of those dreams where it's like real but not real? That was kind of the experience I had this morning. But you know what? It was a good reminder of my relationship with Christ. Thank God for those reminders in your life. And Paul was giving a reminder here to the church. And once again, we're often faced with the difficulties and trials in life. And there are times we are tempted to abandon the work and walk away from serving the Lord completely. We too need to be reminded often of our relationship with Christ. I rejoice that I do not walk alone. I am glad that it isn't up to me to provide the answers or the strength necessary to endure. I have a hope that exceeds my life. The saved, we need to understand this morning, are secured in him regardless of outward circumstances. The church must realize they were no longer their own. The Bible says, "You are not your own, you're bought with a price." What was that price? It was the day that Jesus Christ hung on a cross for your sins and for mine. The church needs to understand that we are no longer our own. They had no longer the liberty they wanted to live as they pleased. Their relationship with Christ came with the obligation to walk with the Lord and honor him with their lives and service. This was not a simple request. We belong to Christ this morning. Our lives are to be completely surrendered to serve the Lord. In other words, it's a requirement. It's a requirement that we as Christians serve the Lord this morning. But I want you to see the resolve. In other words, that word just simply means this, the solution. What is the solution we need as Christians this morning? Verse number 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. The charge Paul left would not be an easy one for this church. In fact, it is impossible apart from Christ. If they were to endure and fulfill their work for Christ, they must resolve to be rooted in the Lord, built up in Him, and established in the faith. Temptation would continue to come. Trials would ever be present, seeking to discourage and defeat Christians. Only those who were settled in their faith with a determined desire to serve the Lord would endure. Friend, this morning, maintaining a close relationship with the Lord would be imperative for us to have continued success in this life. I don't know about you, but I certainly want to finish well in this life. I never want to bring shame or a reproach to my Lord. I've served the Lord for many years, seeing many people come and go, and it always saddens my heart when that happens. This was the solution that Paul was giving the church. Starts with your relationship. You've been saved, so walk ye in Him. How's your walk with Christ this morning? Rooted and built up, are you building your life upon the principles of Jesus Christ this morning? He gives us one last thought. Really, it's just a reflection at the end of verse number 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's a word that's kind of gone under the radar the last couple of weeks, where we're focused on the word rooted, being built up in Christ, and those are all good things, but the believers in Colossae were not the first, nor would they be the last, but there was an obligation to represent the Lord well. Church, I want us to understand that this morning, those of us that have received Christ, those of us that have been forever changed by God's amazing grace, those of us that have gone from death unto life, you need to understand this morning this thought. There is now an obligation to represent the Lord well. Verse number 7, as we conclude there, Paul just gives us these thoughts. Verse 6 and 7, let's read those one last time this morning together. Colossians 2, verse 6, ready, begin. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. My, how we need to reflect on this today. We need those who are totally committed to the truth. Well, we need those who will continue for Christ without wavering. The world needs to experience a joyous and thankful church. And my prayer is when the world sees Faith Bible Baptist Church, they see a church that's rooted and built up in Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-353-7635.